Appreciate the prayer Mike led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Max leading us in song as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And appreciate Alvin giving us the reading of the Scriptures. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to engage in our study this morning titled, Why Are There So Many Different Churches Today? Have you ever wondered that? As you were driving around and seeing different signs in front of buildings of congregations wearing different names, have you ever wondered why there are so many different churches today teaching different doctrines wearing different names? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever wondered that? You see, due to the existence of so many different denominational churches in our society today who are teaching different doctrines and who are wearing different names, the question of why are there so many different churches often comes up. So with that question in mind this morning, let's take just a few moments to examine the question of why there are so many different churches today. And I begin by suggesting to us today, this morning, that there are so many churches today, not because the Bible speaks of so many different churches. Did you know that the Bible, the all-inspired Word of God, speaks of only one church? Did you know that? Notice that with me. There in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, the inspired Apostle Paul informed that there is one body. One body, Paul says. And the Bible, being its own best commentary, tells us exactly what that one body is. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 22. Paul said, "And he, that being God the Father, put all things under his, that being Jesus Christ, feet, and gave him to be head over all things," now watch it, "to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Here Paul informed that the church is the body. We see this further there in Colossians chapter 1. Turn over there with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18, Paul goes on to say, "And he," again that being Jesus the Christ, "is the head of the body," now watch it, "the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Again, Paul affirms that the body is the church. Fast forwarding down there to verse number 24, Paul again makes it very clear that he rejoiced in his sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. You see that? Here we learn that the body is the church. Now, if the Bible says there is one body and the body is the church, then how many churches does the Bible speak of? Answer to that question is simple, isn't it? One. One. You see, in this we can learn that the Bible does not mention nor give approval for so many different churches today. For the Bible only speaks of one church. But I also suggest to us this morning, in regard to why there are so many different churches today, that it is not because Jesus built many different churches. Did you know that? You see, there in Matthew chapter 8:16. In Matthew 16, in the context here, we learn that Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter confessed that he was Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And what did Jesus respond? He responded with, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build," now watch it, "my church." Here, upon the confession from Peter of Jesus being the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Couple things of importance here. First of all, Jesus says, "I will build my church." That simply means that he spoke of it belonging to him. But we also see that he said that he would build his church singular, not churches, plural. You see that? So how many churches did Jesus establish? Again, the question is simple. Just one. That's why Paul declared, "The churches of Christ salute you," there in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Because the name Church of Christ describes the church as belonging to the Lord. It is His. It belongs to Him. He is the one who built it. He is the one in whom it is, the church is, He is the church's foundation. He is the one in which He is the head of the church. And He is the one in which He is the Savior of. But I also suggest to us this morning that in regard to the question why there are so many different churches today, it's not because Christ purchased many different churches. Again, we learn there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 the fact that the church was purchased with the blood of Christ. And there in Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul, in writing, in expressing himself to the elders of Ephesus, told them to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. You see, Christ gave Himself for the church. We learn about that in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 25. He gave Himself for the church which He purchased with His own blood, as we just learned here in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28. Therefore, He did not die for many man-made denominations, but He only died and purchased the church which belongs to Him. We need to be mindful of that. And we also need to understand, when we ask the question, why are there so many different churches today, that it's not because Christ prayed for there to be many different churches. I want you to go with me to John chapter 17. And here in John chapter 17, I want us to notice what Jesus' desire was for all believers as He prayed here. Here in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20, Jesus prayed, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, and that the world may believe that You sent Me, and the glory which You gave Me I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me." Did you notice that this prayer of Jesus denotes His desire for oneness? You did, didn't you? You see, here Jesus prayed for oneness among all believers. He simply prayed for unity, not division, among those who believe. He prayed for oneness, just as Him and the Father are one. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ desires for oneness among those who believe in Him. And we need to be mindful of the fact that there are not so many different churches today because of the fact that it is not the desire of Christ. For Christ desires for all believers to be one. But I also suggest to us this morning, in regard to the question, why are there so many different churches today? It's not because the Lord adds the saved to many different churches. We learn there in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." Again, the Lord only adds the saved to the church, His church, not many different churches. You see, it's important to note that when the word "the" is used, it means that the word it is attached to refers to a specific object. Here we learn that the Lord, specifically meaning the one and only Lord. We all recognize there's only one Lord. Here we learn that the Lord adds the saved to the church. Singular. There's only one. And we need to be mindful of that. But I also suggest to us, in regard to the question why there are so many different churches today, it's not because Jesus Christ is the Savior of many different churches. Go with me there to Ephesians chapter 5. And as you're turning there to Ephesians chapter 5, remember what Paul said in Ephesians 4 and in verse 4. There is one body. One body. Now in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, we learn that Christ is head of the church and He is Savior, the Savior of the body. Again, the Savior, singular, of the body, singular. You see that? And as we talked about earlier, the body is the church. And if there is one body, there is just one church. And we learned that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the Savior of any denomination, but only of the body. The one body, which is the church. The one church which He built, which He purchased with His blood. So here to bring this lesson home, to answer our question this morning. Why are there so many different churches today? The reason why there are so many different churches today who are teaching different doctrines and who are wearing different names is simply because they have been started by men. They've been started by men who have not endured sound doctrine, who pervert the truth, who deceive others, and because there are so many who are unwise concerning the will of the Lord, many have chosen to follow the teachings of men instead of the doctrine of Christ. There's our answer. That's why. You see, sadly, there are so many who have left the teachings of Christ and formed new, different, and diverse doctrines. And the Apostle Paul warned Timothy about that, didn't he? Notice what Paul said there to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning here in verse number 2, Paul instructed Timothy to what? Preach the word. How? Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You see that? That's why. That's why there are so many different churches today teaching different doctrines, wearing different names. Because there are so many who have turned away from sound doctrine. So many who have not endured sound doctrine. So many who have itching ears. So many who heap up for themselves teachers. So many who turn their ears away from the truth and are turned aside to fables. You see, Peter warned about false teachers. He warned about those who will not endure sound doctrine and those who will not preach the truth. There in 2 Peter chapter 2. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning here in verse number 1, Peter said, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. Peter warned about it. He says it's going to happen. And what did he say was going to be the result of those false teachers? Many's going to follow their destructive ways. That's why. There are so many different churches today. Because there are so many who do not endure sound doctrine. So many who pervert the truth. And there are so many who are ignorant concerning the will of the Lord, that they are become deceived and they follow those who pervert the truth. We need to be mindful of the need not to be unwise, but rather to be wise. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. We need to be mindful of that. We need to take heed to that instruction of the Apostle Paul. We must not be unwise concerning the will of the Lord, but rather we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. We must not be a people who just take men for their word, but rather we need to be like those noble brands of old who search the Scriptures to make sure that the things that are being said are so. We need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of the need to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. And we need to be mindful to beware. To beware lest anyone cheat us through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse number 8. And may we all never forget what we've learned there in 2 John verse 9 beginning. And there in 2 John, beginning in verse 9, it's recorded, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Remember that. Remember that. And know that just because men have deceived and started their own churches and make their own rules and determine its conditions for membership and its structure for worship, that the Lord is not pleased with such, and such is condemned. For as we learn here in 2 John and verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. Therefore, may we all abide only in the doctrine of Christ, and may we all only be a member of the one true church, which belongs to Christ, which we can read about in the Bible. I now ask, are you a member of the church that Jesus built? The church that he purchased with his blood? Are you? If not, why not? For you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and you can turn to God. You can confess Jesus Christ and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And the Lord can add you to his church. And may we all always remember the need to remember to keep on keeping on. The need to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and his will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask him for his forgiveness, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.